Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic and guide to all things cinematic. He joins us weekly. The films Happening, Jazz Fest, A New Orleans Story, and Firestarter.
Well, once again this week, I would like to talk about three titles, which are very, very, very different from each other in all ways. And I'd like to start off with the one which is really in all ways the most serious of the group, which is a film called Happening. The French title is L'Evénement, and it is, in fact, a French movie. And it's a French movie that deals with something which is so much in the headlines nowadays, and so many people are thinking about the topic of abortion, with the very likely Supreme Court decision coming out very soon, which is going to maybe really change the landscape of abortion rights in America. Well, abortion rights have been and remain an issue in many parts of the world, and that is exactly what Happening deals with. And before getting to Happening, I just like to recall that there's an interesting mix of movies that have dealt with abortion over, you know, at least over recent years. You can go back even not such recent years either. But it's a movie that's been dealt with in a lot of very memorable and interesting films. Quite a while ago, there was a very, very fine, almost legendary by now, Romanian film called 4 Months, 3 Weeks, and 2 Days, which is about a young woman who needs an abortion. There was a little under 20 years ago, there was the very fine British film by Mike Leigh called Vera Drake, about a very pioneering abortion provider. More recently, there was Portrait of a Lady on Fire by Céline Sciamma, Lingui, The Sacred Bonds, which is a movie from Chad, and a very, very fine movie by Eliza Hittman called Never, Rarely, Sometimes, Always, which was pretty recent. And anyway, all of these really interesting and memorable movies about abortion. And Happening has come out already. It's won a lot of awards and nominations. It actually was premiered last year, but it won the Golden Lion at the Venice Film Festival. So it's quite a major film, and it's a really, really good film. And I just really want to call it to people's attentions. It's playing right now in theaters. Directed by Audrey Diwan, and based on a French novel, it tells the story quite simply of a young woman who finds that she is pregnant and does not want to have the baby. She is a young woman. She is in school. She wants very much to complete her schooling. She apparently is a very, very gifted college student with a real talent and who is expected to do big things. One of her professors is in the story, and he is very disappointed when suddenly she gets distracted and starts thinking about something else. He doesn't know what that something else is, because he feels that she has a real future and maybe something is going off the rails here. Well, of course, she feels, probably rightly, that things are going to go a whole lot farther off the rails if she has to go ahead with this pregnancy, which she really doesn't want to do. She figures that someday she probably does want to have children, but this is not the time for that. Now, this all takes place in the 1960s. It's a little bit vague exactly when the story is happening, probably in the earlier part of the 1960s, but the abortion is really illegal in France. And when she even starts mentioning it to her family physician and this sort of thing, is immediately, don't talk about that. I will have nothing to do with that. That is out of the question. That is illegal. They will send me to jail. They might send you to jail. No, no, no. We don't even talk about that. We don't even mention that. We don't even think about that. So that's what she's up against. And so then she has to go seeking about on her own to see if she can find some way out of all this. Well, I won't tell how the story comes out, but it's a very, very well-acted movie. It's a very beautifully and just smoothly and solidly crafted movie, and it really gets you involved in the plight of this young woman. I think that no matter how one feels individually about the morality and the legality and so forth of abortion, you can really get a sense here for the way things were not that long ago. Again, this takes place in France, but my gosh, I was in America back in the 60s, and oh my gosh, it was something that you weren't even supposed to talk about, and it was something that that was completely verboten and illegal. And so the situation between France then and America then are very, very similar. And, of course, the way America, a mode of thinking to which America may return before too long, at least in many of the states of the United States. So it's a movie which could not be more timely. But apart from its timeliness, and again, this movie came out last year originally. So, they were not thinking, nobody was thinking about this current Supreme Court case at that time. But it's really just a very, very absorbing human drama, like those other abortion movies that I mentioned. But it just happens to be enormously timely right now. But again, however one feels about abortion, it is just a very, very absorbing and beautifully made human drama, beautifully acted. And I just recommend it very, very highly. Seek it out. It gets you thinking about this topic again, if you weren't already. And it's just a very, very nicely done and very sensitively made, almost exquisitely sensitive, a human drama. So, as promised, on to our next film, which is very different, and it is called Jazz Fest, A New Orleans Story. And this is about a festival, a jazz festival, which takes place most years in New Orleans. I'm very interested in New Orleans because I've spent a fair amount of time there in recent years. I more or less lived there for quite a few months just a few years ago, and I'm actually planning to spend the month of July there this year. So it's a place that I am fond of. And this big jazz festival, which has been going on for quite a long time, it was originally dreamed up by George Wein, a very, very important jazz entrepreneur. The official title of it, by the way, is the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. And it was dreamed up originally by George Wein, who had started already the Newport Jazz Festival, and he was invited back several decades ago to set up an equivalent to that in New Orleans. And he said, you just can't do it. And here's why. Because at that time, New Orleans was still a segregated southern city. And he said, you can't have any kind of a jazz festival where you have a segregated atmosphere. Jazz is obviously a very much an African-American phenomenon and very much a mixed phenomenon with people of all races taking part. You can't do it. But when things eased up in that department, George Wein went ahead and eventually this Jazz and Heritage Festival was set up. And has been going most years ever since, not during the pandemic period, but it's had a very now illustrious history. So this movie, documentary by Frank Marshall and Ryan Suffern, is basically just a big documentary about that festival. Now, here we have something of a concert film, and that reminds me, as of other concert films over the years, there have been some pretty distinguished ones. I'll just mention a few. There was Woodstock, a big movie about the Woodstock Festival from the 60s. There was Stop Making Sense with the Talking Heads band, Monterey Pop, which had all kinds of different acts in it, Martin Scorsese's great film, The Last Waltz, again, many, many a different act in that. And we have that kind of movie here in a way. It's not so elegantly put together as Stop Making Sense or The Last Waltz were. Those were very beautifully cinematic movies. This is more of a sprawling kind of an in-the-moment documentary, but it has that sort of feeling with all kinds of different acts and all kinds of wonderful people appearing on the screen. So again, the festival started small a number of years ago, but by just two or three years ago, it was a really, really huge event. In fact, I ran across a statistic. In 2019, there were 7,000 musicians who performed over 8 days on 14 stages, and at its highest, the attendance was about 100,000 people on one day, and that made it the sixth largest city in Louisiana on that one day. So it's quite an event. So, of course, a horrible thing happened, and this is, of course, definitely covered in the documentary. Hurricane Katrina knocked the city to pieces back in 2005, but the festival came back, and then it was postponed again because of COVID-19. But it's coming back again, so it's gonna be here with us. And this documentary is a good sort of commercial for that. Now, who is in the documentary? Who do we see performing? Well, Bruce Springsteen is in it. Irma Thomas, Jimmy Buffett. There's quite a bit of time devoted to Jimmy Buffett, who doesn't strike me as having much on-screen charisma, but he's a big longtime supporter and appearer in this festival. Earth, Wind, and Fire are there. Gary Clark Jr. There are New Orleans outfits like the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, and the part of the film deals with actual New Orleans kind of folklore and culture, and Louisiana folklore and culture. So we have a part that deals with the differences between Cajun and Zydeco music, and there's some stuff about the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, which I've certainly gone to see more than once during my time in New Orleans. There is a beautiful, touching little part of the movie where we have Ellis Marsalis performing, and his four sons are there, and they include the very, very famous Wynton Marsalis and Bradford Marsalis, along with a couple of lesser-known Marsalis siblings. So, again, a lot of people in this documentary, which is very lively and, well, just full of lovely music. And, of course, at both at the beginning and the end of the movie, we have different renditions of When the Saints Go Marching In, which is done in one case by Louis Armstrong and another case by Trombone Shorty. So, you know, that's a definite New Orleans phenomenon, When the Saints Go Marching In. I was not thrilled by the movie Jazz Fest, A New Orleans Story, because, you know, it's really just an infomercial. It really gets much too much into just celebrating all this. The concert footage is constantly being interrupted by talking head interviews, and they're just fine and they're interesting, but I would have liked more actual on-screen performance and a little bit less in the way of people talking about how wonderful it all is. That said, if you're into jazz, if you're into folklore, if you're into just any kind of Southern or New Orleans culture, then this is the movie of the year for you, Jazz Fest, A New Orleans Story. Not a great documentary, but a lively and music-filled and very pleasurable one. And our final movie for today, which, as promised, is very different from the previous two. I just thought we seem to have every week a horror movie. They're just being made right and left these days. And so we have Firestarter, which is based on a novel by Stephen King, which I read back in the 80s, back when the first movie based on that novel came out, which was in 1984, starring Drew Barrymore. And now we have a new version of the movie, starring Ryan Kira Armstrong and Zac Efron. And it has pretty much, more or less, there are changes, but more or less the same story as the novel and more or less the same story as the 1984 movie. So the main character, the title character, the Firestarter, is a little girl whose name is Charlene, but she's always called Charlie, and she has these powers. This is another one of those many, many movies about kids with powers. So what she can do is they call it pyrokinesis. Namely, she can start fires just using the force of her mind at a distance. And right from the beginning of the movie, there are some very bad people after her, and they turn out to come from some sort of government outfit called the Shop. You know, one of those euphemisms they have for, I guess, CIA-type outfits. Anyway, they are after her because they know about these powers. In fact, apparently they caused these powers to come into existence. And by the way, her parents also have these powers. That's apparently how all this started, when the Shop got a hold of the parents, and then they got these powers, and now the kid has the powers. And the thing is, the parents know how to handle the powers. They have some idea of what to do, how to keep them in check. But Charlie is a little girl, and she has these horrifying powers, and she does not really know how to control them, how to handle them, and the Shop is after her. And in a way, you have to be sort of on the side of the Shop, because, hey, this kid could really do a lot of damage in the real world if she's not sort of taught how to use these powers, and the parents are trying, but they're not doing that great a job. But the Shop is obviously very, very bad people, because when they get a hold of Charlie, they want to totally control her and maybe even destroy her. So this is a bunch of very bad stuff that we have going on here. So that's what the movie is about. We have Charlie and the parents, and the especially Charlie and her father, played by Zac Efron, as I mentioned, and the Shop is after them, and they're running away from the Shop, and they're also horrible things are happening. And, you know, when the kids at school bully Charlie, oh my gosh, she's just likely to let those horrors go, which she does at one point in a school lavatory with pretty horrifying results. And so we have incidents like that happening throughout the movie, but mainly it's about the shop being after Charlie and the father, and it's sort of like a chase story and an adventure yarn. So yeah, this is so much like so many other movies. While I was watching this, I thought of Stranger Things, a series of which I have not been very fond, and we have other movies I really thought of, particularly ones based on Stephen King novels. There's The Shining, where there's a little boy named Danny who has some sort of powers, including the power to do what's called Shining. And then there's definitely Carrie, the famous Carrie, played by Sissy Spacek in a very fine Brian De Palma movie years ago. And Charlie is so similar to Carrie, their names are even similar, and there's a lot of similarity there. So yeah, this is not the most original movie you ever saw, and it's not the best movie you ever saw. And to tell you the truth, the 1984 movie, which I looked at again recently, is really not that bad, and I actually like it better than the new version. So I would suggest, if you really want to see Firestarter, maybe you dig up the earlier version, which is easy enough to find. That said, the new Firestarter is not a bad movie. It's kind of interestingly cynical in certain ways, which rather appealed to the cynical part of me. And it's a good sort of horror sci-fi kids with powers movie. So if you want to have a good old-fashioned horror movie romp, you could do worse, but you could also do better than checking out Firestarter. And that is my very varied and somewhat horrific story this week.
Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, The Films Happening, Jazz Fest, A New Orleans Story, and Firestarter.